That seems reasonable, he said. I shall join you. Luke dropped his face in his hands. Through his teeth, Magnus said, Raphael, you have truly lived down to my lowest expectations of you. Magnus, it doesn't matter, said Luke. He was being protective, Magnus knew. Raphael had already gone to stand by Sebastian's side. Let him go. He's no loss. Raphael snorted. No loss, you say, he said. I am well quit of you idiots flopping about this cell, whining about your friends and lovers. You are weak, and have always been weak. I should have let you walk into the daylight, Magnus said, and his voice was ice. Raphael flinched. It was barely a movement, but Magnus saw it. Not that it brought him much satisfaction. Sebastian saw the flinch, though, and the look in his dark eyes intensified. From his belt he produced a knife, thin, with a narrow blade. A misericord. A mercy killer. The kind of blade that was meant to pierce through the gaps in armor and deliver a killing stroke. Raphael, seeing the flash of metal, stepped back quickly, but Sebastian only smiled and flipped the blade in his hand. He offered it to Raphael, hilt first. Take it, he said. Raphael reached out a hand, his eyes suspicious. He took the knife and held it, dangling loosely. Vampires had little use for weapons. They were their own weapons. Very good, said Sebastian. Now let us seal our agreement in blood. Kill the warlock. The blade dropped from Raphael's hand and clattered to the ground. With a look of irritation, Sebastian bent and snatched it up, putting it back into the vampire's hand. We do not kill with knives, Raphael said, staring from the blade to Sebastian's cold expression. You do now, said Sebastian. I won't have you tearing out his throat. Too messy. Too easy to get it wrong. Do as I tell you. Go to the warlock and stab him to death. Cut his throat, pierce his heart, however you like. Raphael turned toward Magnus. Luke started forward. Magnus held up a warning hand. Luke, he said, don't. Raphael, if you do this, there will be no peace between the pack and the knight's children. Not now, or ever again, Luke said, his eyes gleaming with a green shine. Sebastian laughed. You can't imagine you'll ever hold sway over a pack again, can you, Lucian Greymark? When I win this war, and I will rule with my sister beside me, and keep you in a cage for her to throw bones to when it amuses her. Raphael took another step toward Magnus. His eyes were enormous. His throat had been kissed so many times by the crucifix he wore that the scar never left. The blade gleamed in his hand. If you think Clary would tolerate, Luke began, and then turned away. He moved toward Raphael, but Sebastian was already in front of him, blocking his way with the Morgenstern blade. With a strange detachment, Magnus watched Raphael approach him. Magnus's heart was thudding in his chest. He was aware of that much, but he did not feel afraid. He had been close to death many times. So many that the idea no longer frightened him. Sometimes he thought some part of him longed for it, for that unknown country, the one place he had never been, that one experience as yet unlived. The tip of the knife touched his neck. Raphael's hand was shaking. Magnus felt the sting as the blade nicked the hollow of his throat. That's right, said Sebastian with a feral grin. Cut his throat. Let the blood run out over the floor. He has lived too many years. Magnus thought of Alec then, of his blue eyes and steady smile. He thought of walking away from Alec in the tunnels under New York. He thought of why he'd done it. Yes, Alec's willingness to see Camille had angered him, but it was more than that. He remembered Tessa weeping in his arms in Paris, and thinking that he had never known the loss she felt, because he had never loved like she had, and that he was afraid that someday he would, and like Tessa, he would lose his mortal love, and that it was better to be the one who died than the one who lived on. He had dismissed that later as a morbid fantasy and had not remembered it again until Alec. It had torn at him to walk away from Alec. But for an immortal to love a mortal, that had been the destruction of gods. And if gods had been destroyed by it, Magnus could hardly hope for better. He looked up at Raphael through his eyelashes. "You remember," he said in a low voice, so low he doubted Sebastian could hear him. "You know what you owe me." "You saved my life," Raphael said, but his voice was numb. "A life I never wanted." "Show me your serious Santiago," said Sebastian. "Kill the warlock." Raphael's hand tightened on the hilt of the knife. His knuckles were white. He spoke to Magnus. "I have no soul," he said, "but I made you a promise on my mother's doorstep, and she was sacred to me." "Santiago," Sebastian began. "I was a child then. I am not now." The knife fell to the floor. Raphael turned and looked at Sebastian, his wide dark eyes very clear. "I cannot," he said. "I will not. I owe him a debt from many years ago." Sebastian was very still. "You disappoint me, Raphael," he said, and sheathed the Morgenstern sword. He stepped forward and picked up the knife at Raphael's feet, turning it over in his hand. A bit of light sparked along the blade, a singeing teardrop of fire. "You disappoint me very much," he said. And then, too swiftly for the eye to follow, he drove the blade into Raphael's heart.
It was freezing inside the hospital morgue. Maya wasn't shivering, but she could feel it, like the points of needles against her skin. Katerina was standing against the bank of steel compartments that held corpses, which ran along one wall. The yellowish fluorescent lights made her look washed out, a pale blue blur in green scrubs. She was muttering under her breath in a strange language that made chills run up Maya's spine. "Where is it?" Bat asked. He was holding a wicked-looking hunting knife in one hand and a large kennel-sized cage in the other. He dropped the cage with a clang, his gaze sweeping the room. Two bare steel tables stood in the center of the morgue. As Maya stared, one of them began inching forward. Its wheels dragged along the tile floor. Katerina pointed. "There," she said. Her gaze was on the cage. She made a gesture with her fingers, and the cage seemed to vibrate and spark. "Under the table." "You don't say," Lily drooled, clicking forward in her heels. She bent down to peer under the table, then leaped back with a shriek. She sailed through the air and landed on one of the countertops, where she perched like a bat, her black hair tumbling down out of its ponytail. "It's hideous," she said. "It's a demon," said Katerina. The table had stopped moving. "Probably a Dantalion or some other ghoul type. They feed on the dead." "Oh, for goodness sake," said Maya, taking a step forward. Before she reached the table, Bat kicked it with a booted foot. It went over with a clang, revealing the creature underneath. Lily had been right. It was hideous. It was about the size of a large dog, but it resembled a ball of grayish, pulsing intestines, studded with malformed kidneys and nodes of pus and blood. A single yellow, weeping eye glared out from among the jumble of organs. "Ew," said Bat. "I told you," said Lily, just as a long rope of intestines shot out from the demon and wrapped around Bat's ankle, jerking hard. He fell to the floor with a wince-inducing crash. "Bat," Maya cried, but before she needed to move, he whipped around and slashed with his knife through the pulsing matter that held him. He scrambled back as demon ichor sprayed across the floor. "So gross," Lily said. She was seated on the counter now, holding up an oblong metal object, her phone, as if it would ward the demon off. Bat scrambled to his feet as the demon skittered towards Maya. She kicked out at it, and it rolled back with an angry squishing noise. Bat looked down at his knife. The metal was melting, dissolved by the ichor. He dropped it with a noise of disgust. "Weapons," he said, casting around. "I need a weapon." Maya seized a scalpel off a nearby table and flung it. It stuck into the creature with a slimy noise. The demon squealed. A moment later, the scalpel shot back out of it as if it had been ejected from a particularly powerful toaster. It skidded along the floor, melting and sizzling. "Ordinary weapons don't work on them." Katerina stepped forward, raising her right hand. It was surrounded by blue flame. "Only ruined blades." "Then let's get some of those," Bat gasped, backing away as the pulsing creature scooted toward him. "Only shadow hunters can use them," Katerina cried, and a bolt of blue fire shot from her hand. It struck the creature squarely, sending it rolling over and over. Bat seized hold of the cage and banged it down in front of the demon, yanking up the hatch just as the demon rolled inside. Maya slammed the hatch down and threw the bolt, locking the demon inside. They all backed away, staring in horror as it hissed and threw itself around the confines of its warlock-strengthened prison. All except Lily, who was still pointing her phone at it. "Are you filming this?" Maya demanded. "Maybe," Lily said. Katerina drew her sleeve across her brow. "Thanks for the help," she said. "Even warlock magic can't kill Dantalians, they're tough." "Why are you filming this?" Maya said to Lily. The vampire girl shrugged. "When the cat is away, the mice will play. Always good to remind the mice that in this case, when the cat is away, the mice will all be eaten by demons. I'm going to send this video file to every one of our downworld contacts around the world. Just a reminder that there are demons we need shadow hunters to destroy. That's why they exist."
"They won't exist for long,"
hissed the Dantalian demon. Bat yelled and jumped back another foot. Maya didn't blame him. The thing's mouth had opened. It looked like a slick black tunnel lined with teeth.
"Tomorrow night is the attack. Tomorrow night is the war."
"What war?" Katerina demanded. "Tell us, creature, or when I get home, I will set to torturing you in every way I can devise."
"Sebastian Morgenstern,"
said the demon.
"Tomorrow night, he attacks Elegante. Tomorrow night, the Shadow Hunters cease to be."
A fire burned in the middle of the cave, the smoke furling up toward the high dome ceiling, lost in shadow. Simon could feel the heat from the fire, a tense crackling against his skin, more than the real sensation of warmth. He guessed it was cold in the cave, from the fact that Alec had bundled himself up in a bulky sweater and carefully wrapped a blanket around Isabel, who was sleeping stretched out on the floor, her head on her brother's lap. But Simon couldn't feel it, not really. Clary and Jace had gone to check the tunnels to make sure they were still free of demons and other possible stray nasties. Alec hadn't wanted to leave Isabel, and Simon had been too weak and dizzy to contemplate moving much. Not that he had let that fact be known. Technically, he was on watch, listening for anything that might come at them from the shadows. Alec was staring into the flames. The yellow light made him look tired, older. "Thanks," he said suddenly. Simon almost jumped. Alec hadn't said a word to him since, "What are you doing?" "For what?" "Saving my sister," said Alec. He brushed a hand through Isabel's dark hair. "I know," he said a little haltingly. "I mean, I knew, when we came here, that this could be a suicide mission. I know it's dangerous. I know I can't really expect us all to survive. But I thought it would be me, not Izzy." "Why?" Simon said. His head was pounding, his mouth dry. "Because I'd rather it was me," Alec said. "She's... Isabel. She's smart and tough and a good fighter. Better than me. She deserves to be all right. To be happy." He looked at Simon through the fire. "You have a sister, don't you?" Simon was jolted by the question. New York seemed a world, a lifetime away. "Rebecca," he said. "That's her name. And what would you do to someone who made her unhappy?" Simon eyed Alec warily. "I would reason with them," he said. "Talk it out. Maybe an understanding hug." Alec snorted and seemed about to reply. Then his head snapped around as if he'd heard something. Simon raised an eyebrow. It wasn't often a human heard something before a vampire did. A moment later, he recognized the sound himself and understood. It was Jace's voice. Illumination danced at the end of the far tunnel, and Clary and Jace appeared, Clary holding a witch light in her hand. Even in her boots, Clary barely came to Jace's shoulder. They weren't touching, but they moved together toward the fire. Simon thought that while they had seemed like a couple ever since the first time they'd come back from Idris, they'd seemed something more now. They seemed like a team. "Anything interesting?" Alec asked as Jace came to sit beside the fire. Clary put glamour runes on the cave entrances. No one should be able to see that there's any way in here. How long will they last?
Overnight, probably into tomorrow, said Clary, glancing at Izzy. What with the runes wearing off quicker here, I'll have to check them later. And I've got a better idea of where we're positioned in terms of Alicante. I'm pretty sure that rock wasteland where we were last night, Jace pointed at the rightmost tunnel, looks out over what I think used to be Brosselin Forest.
Alec half closed his eyes.
That's depressing. The forest was beautiful.
Not anymore. Jace shook his head. Just wasteland, as far as you can see.
He bent and touched Isabel's hair, and Simon felt a small pointless flare of jealousy. That he could touch her so carelessly, show his affection without thinking.
How is she?
Good. Sleeping. Things should be well enough to move by tomorrow.
Jace's voice was anxious.
We can't stay here. We've sent up enough warnings that we're present. If we don't get to Sebastian, he'll find us first. And we're running out of food.
Simon lost Alec's murmured response. A sudden stabbing pain shot through him, and he doubled up. He felt robbed of his breath, except he didn't breathe. Nevertheless, his chest hurt, as if something had been ripped out of it.
Simon! Simon! Clary said sharply, her hand on his shoulder, and he looked up at her, his eyes streaming tears tinged with blood.
God, Simon, what's wrong? She asked, frantic.
He sat up slowly. The pain was already starting to ebb.
I don't know. It was like someone stuck a knife into my chest.
Jace was swiftly on his knees in front of him, his fingers under Simon's chin. His pale gold gaze searched Simon's face.
Raphael, Jace said finally in a flat voice. He's your sire, the one whose blood made you a vampire.
Simon nodded.
So?
Jace shook his head.
Nothing, he muttered.
When did you last feed?
I'm fine, Simon said,
but Clary had already caught at his right hand and lifted it. The gold fairy ring shone on his finger. The hand itself was dead white, the veins under the skin showing black, like a network of cracks and marble.
You're not fine, haven't you fed? You lost all that blood.
Clary,
where are the bottles you brought?
She cast around looking for his bag, and found it shoved against the wall. She yanked it toward her.
Simon, if you don't start taking better care of yourself...
Don't! He grabbed the strap of the bag away from her. She glared at him.
They broke, he said.
The bottles broke. When we were fighting the demons in the Accords Hall.
The blood's gone.
Clary stood up.
Simon Lewis, she said furiously.
Why didn't you say something?
Say something about what?
Jace moved away from Simon.
Simon's starving, Clary explained.
He lost blood healing Izzy, and his supply was wrecked in the hall.
Why didn't you say something?
Jace asked, rising and pushing back a lock of blonde hair.
Because, Simon said, it's not like there's animals I can feed on here.
There's us, Jace said.
I don't want to feed on my friend's blood.
Why not? Jace stepped past the fire and looked down at Simon. His expression was open and curious.
We've been here before, haven't we?
Last time you were starving, I gave you my blood. It was a little homoerotic, maybe, but I'm secure in my sexuality. Simon sighed internally. He could tell that under the flippancy, Jace was completely serious in his offer. Probably less because it was sexy than because Jace had a death wish the size of Brooklyn. I'm not biting someone whose veins are full of heavenly fire, Simon said. I have no desire to be toasted from the inside out. Clary swept her hair back, baring her throat.
Look, drink my blood. I always said you were welcome to it.
No, Jace said immediately, and Simon saw him remembering the hold in Valentine's ship, the way Simon had said,
I would have killed you. And Jason replied, wonderingly, I would have let you.
Oh, for God's sake, I'll do it.
Alex stood up, carefully repositioning Izzy on the blanket. He tucked the edge around her and straightened. Simon let his head fall back against the wall of the cave.
You don't even like me. Now you're offering me your blood?
You saved my sister. I owe you. Alex shrugged, his shadow long and dark in the light of the flames.
Right.
Simon swallowed awkwardly.
Okay.
Clary reached her hand down. After a moment, Simon took it and let her haul him to his feet. He couldn't help staring across the room at Isabel, asleep, half wrapped in Alex's blue blanket. She was breathing, slow and steady. Izzy, still breathing, because of him. Simon took a step toward Alec and stumbled. Alec caught him and steadied him. His grip on Simon's shoulder was hard. Simon could feel Alec's tension in it, and he suddenly realized how bizarre the situation was. Jason Clary, gawking openly at them. Alec looking as if he were bracing himself to have a bucket of ice water dumped over his head. Alec turned his head a little to the left, baring his throat. He was staring off fixedly at the opposite wall. Simon decided he looked less like someone who was about to have ice water dumped on their head, and more like someone about to endure an embarrassing exam at the doctor's office.
I'm not doing this in front of everyone, Simon announced.
It's not spin the bottle, Simon, said Clary.
It's just food.
Not that you're food, Alec, she added, when he glared.
She held her hands up.
Never mind.
Oh, for the angels,
Alec began, and closed his hand around Simon's upper arm.
Come on,
he said, and dragged Simon partway down the tunnel that led back toward the gate, just far enough so that the others faded out of view, disappearing behind a jut of rock. Though Simon did hear the last thing Jace said, just before they faded out of earshot.
What?
They need privacy.
It's an intimate moment.
I think you should just let me die, Simon said.
Shut up,
Alex said, and pushed him up against the cave wall. He eyed Simon thoughtfully.
Does it have to be my neck?
No, Simon said, feeling as if he had wandered into a bizarre dream. Wrists are okay too. Alec began to push up the sleeve of his sweater. His arm was bare and pale, except where the marks were, and Simon could see his veins under the skin. Despite himself, he felt the sting of hunger, rousing him from exhaustion. He could smell blood, soft and salty, rich with the tang of daylight. Shadowhunter blood, like Izzy's. He ran his tongue along his upper teeth, and was only a little surprised to feel his canines hardening and sharpening into fangs.
I just want you to know, Alex said as he held his wrist out, that I realize that to you vampires this feeding business sometimes equals sexy times.
Simon's eyes widened. My sister may have told me more than I wanted to know, Alec admitted. Anyway, my point is that I am not attracted to you in the slightest.
Right,
Simon said, and took Alec's hand. He tried for a brotherly sort of grasp, but it didn't quite work, considering that he had to bend Alec's hand back to bear the vulnerable part of his wrist.
Well, you don't ring my bells either, so I guess we're even.
Although you could have faked it for five.
No, I couldn't, Alec said. I hate it when straight guys think all gay guys are attracted to them. I'm not attracted to every guy any more than you are attracted to every girl.
Simon took a deep, purposeful breath. It was always a strange feeling, breathing when he didn't need to, but it was calming. Alec, he said, chill. I don't think you're in love with me. In fact, most of the time I think you hate me. Alec paused.
I don't hate you.
Why would I hate you?
Because I'm a downworlder? Because I'm a vampire who's in love with your sister and you think she's too good for me?
Don't you? Alec said, but it was without rancor. After a moment, he smiled a little. That lightwood smile that lit up his face and made Simon think of Izzy.
She's my little sister. I think she's too good for everyone.
But you're a good person, Simon. Regardless of whether you're a vampire too. You're loyal and you're smart and you make Isabel happy. I don't know why, but you do. I know I didn't like you when I met you, but that changed. And I'd hardly judge my sister for dating a downworlder. Simon stood very still. Alec was all right with warlocks, he thought. That much was obvious enough. But warlocks were born what they were. Alec was the most conservative of the Lightwood children. He wasn't chaos-loving or risk-taking, like Jason and Isabel. And Simon had always felt it in him, that sense that a vampire was a human transformed into something wrong. "You wouldn't agree to being a vampire," Simon said. "Not even to be with Magnus forever, right? You didn't want to live forever. You wanted to take his immortality away. That's why he broke up with you." Alec flinched. "No," he said. "No, I wouldn't want to be a vampire." "So you do think I'm less than you," Simon said. Alec's voice cracked. "I'm trying," he said. And Simon felt it, felt how much Alec wanted to mean it, maybe even did mean it a little bit. And after all, if Simon hadn't been a vampire, he would still have been a mundane, still lesser. He felt Alec's pulse surge in the wrist he was holding. "Go ahead," Alec said, exhaling his words, clearly in an agony of waiting. "Just do it." "Brace yourself," Simon said, and lifted Alec's wrist to his mouth. Despite the tension between them, his body, hungry and deprived, responded. His muscles tightened, and his fang teeth snapped out of their own accord. He saw Alec's eyes darken with surprise and fear. Hunger spread like a fire through Simon's body, and he spoke out of the drowning depths of it, struggling to try to say something human to Alec. He hoped he was audible enough to be understood around his fangs. "I'm sorry about Magnus." "Me too. Now bite," Alec said. And Simon did, his fangs piercing fast and clean through the skin, the blood exploding into his mouth. He heard Alec gasp, and Simon gripped involuntarily tighter, as if to prevent Alec from trying to pull away. But Alec didn't try. His wild heartbeat was audible to Simon, pounding down through his veins like the tolling of a bell. Along with Alec's blood, Simon could taste the metal of fear, the spark of pain, and the eager flame of something else, something he had tasted the first time he had drunk Jace's blood on the filthy metal floor of Valentine's ship. Maybe all Shadowhunters did have a death wish, after all. XX. The Serpents of the Dust. When Alec and Simon returned to the central cave, they found Isabel still curled asleep among a pile of blankets. Jace was sitting by the fire, leaning back on his hands, the play of light and shadow dancing across his face. Clary lay with her head on his lap, though Simon could see by the shimmer of her eyes as she watched them approach that she wasn't asleep. Jace raised his eyebrows. "Woke of shame, boys." Alec glowered. He stood with his left wrist turned in, hiding the puncture marks, though they were mostly faded thanks to the Arazi he'd put on his wrist. He hadn't pushed Simon away, had let him drink until Simon had stopped himself, and as a result, he was a little pale. "It wasn't sexy," he said. "It was a little sexy," Simon said. He felt much better, having fed, and he couldn't help but poke at Alec a bit. "It wasn't," said Alec. "I had some feelings," said Simon. "Do feel free to agonize about it on your own time," said Alec, and bent down to grab the strap of his backpack. "I'm going to take watch." Clary sat up with a yawn. "Are you sure? Do you need a blood replacement rune?" "I already put on two," Alec said. "I'll be fine." He straightened up and glanced at his sleeping sister. "Just look after Isabel, okay?" His gaze went to Simon. "Especially you, vampire." Alec headed off down the corridor, his witchlight casting his shadow, long and spidery, against the cave wall. Jason Clary exchanged a quick look before Jace scrambled to his feet and followed Alec into the tunnel. Simon could hear their voices, soft murmurs through the rock, though he couldn't make out any of the words. Alec's words echoed in his head. "Look after Isabel." He thought of Alec in the tunnel. "You're loyal and smart, and you make Isabel happy. I don't know why, but you do." The idea of making Isabel happy filled him with a sense of warmth. Simon sat down quietly beside her. She was like a cat curled up in a ball of blankets, her head pillowed on her arm. He eased himself gently down to lie next to her.
She was alive because of him, and her brother had done the closest thing he would probably ever do